Praise God. Praise God. Tonight, I want to talk along this subject, meditating on the Lord over the last several days, working on this message. And then this just seemed to agree with my spirit the other night as a title for tonight. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. I wonder if you'd say that out loud and help me with that. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. Say it one more time with me. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. I want to begin tonight by showing you a victory that comes from a seemingly defeat. It looks like a person's going to be defeated and they overwhelmingly win. And it reminds me of you and I in the body of Christ. So take a look with me at this video.
Down, gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornan is flying down the back.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Von Dohr, and she may catch the leader.
Wow.
She's got Von.
This is a gutsy effort by Dornan. Can't she pull it off? She's moving to third. Dornan coming down the stretch from the outside. Dornan coming on strong. Dornan all the way.
Is amazing to fall in a 600. I mean, this is basically a sprint. I mean, this is an extended 400, basically. But to fall with 200 meters to go and get up and win, that is unbelievable.
Praise God. That was amazing, wasn't it? That was a real track meet, and that woman fell. And when you fall in a track meet, it's over. You know, give it up. It's over. You're sure not going to win. And a lot of times when people fall, they just walk right off the track a lot of times. And track meets, they don't even finish a lot of times. And sometimes people will finish, but they certainly finish last. Here's a person who fell and was looking at seeming defeat and yet was able to get up, continue the race, and then win the race. And I tell you, my brother and sister, that is an exact picture of what happens so often with you and I. If we will keep our heart on the Lord and if we won't let Satan steal our song of praise, God will give us the victory even when it looks like we're defeated. It looks like we're going down for the last time. It looks like we're not going to make it. Oh, but God will stand strong on the inside of us and bring us to the victory once again. Has he ever done that for anybody in here besides Brother Bill? Praise God. Our God is an awesome God. And he can turn setbacks into victory. And when it looks bad and when it looks gloomy and it looks like you're going down, God can turn it around. He is the God of the turnaround. And if you won't let Satan steal your song of praise, God will turn it around for you. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you've been through tonight. I felt impressed to show that video and to speak along these lines. But it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what the trouble, doesn't matter what the struggle. Oh, if you won't let Satan steal your song of praise, God will bring you straight through to the victory. Let's go straight to the word in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you will. 2 Chronicles tonight, chapter 20. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version with all of my scriptures tonight. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 when you get there. Then I'll read 12 through 17. Then I'll read 20 through 25. 1 through 3, 12 through 17, 20 through 25. You're turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. While you're on the way there, I'll give you a little backdrop of what's happening here in this scripture. You know, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And after the reign of Solomon and up until the reign of David, is the kingdom of Israel was split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And during that time, there was a king Jehoshaphat who ruled during the southern kingdom. Jerusalem was its capital. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, as the king of Israel, finds himself in a pickle. He finds himself in a mighty predicament. He's got a problem. He's got a huge problem in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as the chapter starts out, he's brought word. Word is brought to the king that you've got a problem, king. You've got a problem because there are three kingdoms that have united together to attack you. and they're going to conquer Judah. They're going to take the southern kingdom over, these three kingdoms, and Ammon and Moab, Ammon and Mount Seir. They are going to take the kingdom from you, and the word gets to the king that they're already close. They're already en route. They've united in their quest to overthrow you, and they're already close, and it's over. It looks bad, and the king has a problem that he does not know how to solve. Anybody here ever had a problem you didn't know how to solve? But Brother Bill, I'm telling you, I've had some problems that I didn't know how to solve. But we serve a God, and he is an awesome, mighty Father. And there's no problem that he can't solve. There's no situation too big for him. There's no circumstance that he can't figure out. I said, he's got it all under control. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And so verses 1-3, I'll read first here. And it's 37 verses here, so I can't read all those, but I'll read 1-3, and I'll read 12-17 and 20-25. Is that fair enough? All right, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, first 1-3. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And now in those other verses after that, he says to the Lord, Lord, you gave us this land. You promised us this land. This is the land that you promised. And we know you're going to defend us somehow. We know that you're going to get us through. But we are under attack. And this is the land that you gave us. Let's go on, though. Verses 12-17. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. And then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said to them, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, and behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. 17. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. Praise God. And then finally, 20-25. When he had consulted with the people, meaning the king, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. 24, when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. You know, we all face circumstances, situations, trials, my brother and sister. But I came to talk to you tonight. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. Here, King Jehoshaphat has a problem that he can't solve. In fact, he says to the Lord in his prayer, he says, I don't know how to solve it. I can't solve it. I don't know what to do. He says to the Lord in the middle of his prayer, God, I don't know what to do. And when he says that, he says that was verse 12, right? Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, and nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Throughout Israel's history, they have always been directed to sing a song of praise. Israel and many of our heroes of faith have always learned to praise God in the midst of adversity. I think if you go with me to the book of Psalms in Psalm 32, look at Psalm 32. Verse 8 is my favorite scripture in the Bible, you know, but Psalm 32, verse 7 is where I want to direct your attention. Psalm 32, verse 7. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. David says here in Psalm 32, verse 7, he says, you are my hiding place, talking to the Father God. You're my hiding place. You preserve, that word preserve means protect. You preserve or protect me from trouble. And then he said this, you surround me with songs of deliverance. I like that. We're talking about songs of deliverance tonight. God's got a Holy Ghost song. He's got a rhema word and a song just for you tonight. And I came to ask you tonight, do you sing? Do you sing to the Lord? I'm not asking, do you sing well enough to be in a choir? I'm asking a different question. I'm asking, do you sing with all your heart to the Lord? Because I tell you, there is power when a believer begins to magnify and worship the Lord. I said power is released when a believer begins to extol the mighty name of God. So often people dilute their worship. They're thinking about what the sale that's at down there at Walmart. They're thinking about what somebody posted on Facebook in the middle of their worship time. Oh, but if you won't let the devil steal your song of praise, God's got a banner of victory over you tonight. And David said it this way in Psalm 32 and verse 7. He said, he surrounds me with songs of deliverance. The moment he said that to God, you surround me. He said, you're my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. The moment he said to God, you surround me with songs of deliverance. God spoke in verse 8 and said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye on you. Yeah. There is a song. God has surrounded you tonight with songs, mighty songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance. That's Psalm 32. Over, just running real quick, over in Psalm 33, verse 3, the Bible says, sing a new song to the Lord. The Bible's not asking if we're good enough to sing in the choir. But everybody has a voice you can lift to God. And it is a beautiful harmony when a believer, no matter what, you can be a soprano, bass, alto, baritone, whatever you are. Oh, but when you lift your voice to God, it's poetry. It is music in God's ear. It's a beautiful fragrance. What did I tell you that last scripture was? 33 verse 3. Sing a new song to the Lord. 40 verse 3 says, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. Man, go to Zephaniah chapter 3. That's almost toward the end of the Old Testament, you know, before you get to Malachi. Zephaniah, go to Zephaniah, man, because there in Zephaniah, oh man, the Bible says that God, he makes a joyful noise over you. Zephaniah 3:17. It says this, the Lord your God is in your midst a victorious warrior. I like that. It says he will exalt over you with joy. Yeah. The Bible says God is a victorious warrior and he exalts over you with joy. How many glad about that? Well, I'll tell you what, if God is exalting over you and I with joy, you and I better at least have joy. It's why the Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. God is constantly rejoicing over us as a victorious warrior. He will be quiet in his love, Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I like that. The Bible says that God, he will rejoice over us with shouts of joy. Coming over into the New Testament, stop there. Well, let's skip Acts. We'll come back to Acts as maybe our when we get to our last scriptures. But let's go over to Philippians. Go over to Philippians 4:4. Coming over in the New Testament, the Bible encourages born-again, spirit-filled believers to always maintain an attitude of rejoicing. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and, thank God, your mind in Christ Jesus. How many glad about that? Oh, but what precedes the peace of God guarding our heart and guarding our mind? It's rejoicing in the Lord in a continual way. It's never giving up. It's saying, Lord, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what I'm going through, you are the King of the universe. You are my God. You are my Father. You are my deliverer. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. The Bible says, Psalm 34:17, that a righteous man hath many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Being anxious will rob us of our joy, and we'll lose the ability to rejoice in the Lord. Go over with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 3, starting there with verse 15. Verse 16 is our scripture, but Colossians 3, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The Bible instructs you and I to continually make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I tell you what, our worship to God, our joy in the Lord has nothing to do with our current circumstances. Where most people go wrong is they equate their current circumstance with their level of joy. And so if they're going through trouble or adversity, then they have very little joy, very, very little rejoicing. Oh, but you and I are not defined. We are not limited by circumstances, trials, tests. We are not limited by scenarios that we go through, because we serve a God who lives outside the realm of space and time, who's got all power in his hand, glory to God, and his banner over you and I is victory. And so when the Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, Colossians 3:15, somebody says, well, I don't feel the peace of God ruling in my heart. Then you need to do the next thing. Let the word of God richly dwell in you. Because if you'll let the word richly dwell in you long enough, the peace of God will overflow in your heart. Somebody said, what about the other side? He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Somebody says, I don't have any psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't sing and make any melody to the Lord. Oh, but you ought to do that. Oh, because God will take you to another level of victory in your life, on your job, in your circumstances. God will take you to another level of victory. And I tell you, if you'll let the word richly dwell in you, and peace will overflow within you. Let the word richly dwell in you, and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs will begin to come to you. And oh, in those psalms and hymns and odes and spiritual songs, there's rhema words right in the middle of those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that can sustain you, that can rock you on to sleep, that can keep you in the midst of the worst of circumstances. God can keep you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will lift you up. He will help you up. Look over at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the Bible admonishes us that we ought to continually rejoice. We ought to continually express praise to God. We ought to have an attitude of praise. We ought to be able to reverence and praise God continually. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Again, the admonition for you and I as believers to rejoice in the Lord always. The Bible instructs us to do that. What's the title of your message tonight? What's the title of my message tonight? You help me. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. Because so often what believers do is they allow the enemy to steal their song of praise. But the Bible records King Saul, the king of Israel. He had a song of praise, but he let the devil steal it. You remember that? Go with me to 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. The leader. And it's bad when the leader lets go of a song of praise. And the Bible said that it was right after David had slain Goliath. You know the story, no doubt. He had killed Goliath, and they were coming back in a victory march. And they were singing songs of praise, songs of victory, and everybody was singing, but the women were singing, and they were singing a song. And the Bible tells us exactly what they were singing, because it says, 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, and they were singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang, and as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s." And then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. And now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. And Saul, after that, spirals out of control. He loses his ability to even hear from God. He loses all sensitivity to God, because he let the devil steal his song of praise. He should have been happy. Even if they were singing, "Saul slain his thousands, David slain his 10,000s, he should have just stayed with his praise. He should have kept getting his praise on. But he let the devil, through jealousy, steal his song of praise. Don't let a jealous thought, "Oh, I wish I had an amen in here," steal your song of praise. Don't let the wrong thought steal your song of praise. There were times in Israel's history where they let the devil steal their song of praise. Go with me to Psalm 137, 137. Israel, they let the devil steal their song of praise. They had been disobedient to God, and as a result, they got out from under the covenant, got out from under the umbrella of God's protection, and the Babylonians captured Israel. And the Babylonians asked them to sing some praise songs. And in Psalm 137, verse 1, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung up our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.'" Verse 4, they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" But I want you to know, we can sing the Lord's song wherever we are. You can sing the Lord's song in the morning, and you can sing the Lord's song at noontime, and you can sing the Lord's song in the evening, and you can sing the Lord's song in the middle of the night. There's nowhere you can go that you shouldn't proclaim the Lord's song, worshiping, extolling, and blessing the Lord. Israel allowed the devil to steal their song of praise. Saul, King Saul, allowed the devil to steal his song of praise. Over in Exodus 15, go with me to Exodus. Go back to Exodus 15 now. 15, Israel allowed the Lord, during some of their greatest victories, they allowed Satan to steal their song of praise during some of their greatest victories. There's a warning to heed tonight. There's an admonition tonight. Oh, man. You know, when we worship God, so many powerful things happen. We're in, where did I tell you to go? Exodus 15? I'm going to begin with the very last two verses of Exodus 14, and then I want to read the first two verses of Exodus 15. So I'm going to read Exodus 14, 30 and 31, and then Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. Is that all right? All right. So Exodus 14, verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day. This is, you know, after the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. The Lord saved Israel that day. And remember, he caused their chariot wheels to fall off and they couldn't drive their chariots right. And they tried to cross the same Red Sea that God allowed Israel to walk over on dry ground. The Egyptians couldn't do it. And their horses all drowned. Okay, verse 30 again, Exodus 14, 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Isn't that beautiful? 15, verse 1. And then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song. Oh, they had a song? They sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he's hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. Oh, man. They started praising God. They started singing a song. Once they saw God gave them the victory, they started singing a victory song. Now, back in the 80s, some of you are too young, but if you was a believer back in the 80s, we used to sing a song right out of this. There was a song written out of this. Anybody remember that? We sung it a little differently. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. Oh, I will sing unto the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. And then it goes, the Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my father's God. And anybody remember that song? I will exalt him. And we used to get the charismatic hop with that, you know. but we sing that song back in the 80s. Oh, man, I will sing unto the Lord. Oh, man, we would pray, God, I will sing unto the Lord. And a lot of Christians just like that. And we should sing unto the Lord. After all, God saved you from a devil's hell. And you ought to praise him for it. You ought to sing like Israel sang, I will sing unto the Lord. He is triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. Yeah, you ought to praise him. I said, God has delivered you and set you free. God set some of you free from alcohol, some free from drugs, some free from prescription pills, others free from anger, whatever the vice, whatever the problem, God has set us all free by the blood of Jesus. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and the Bible says the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. I wish I had a bigger amen. Is anybody glad? God has set you free. Hallelujah. He transferred you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory be to God. I will sing unto the Lord. He is triumphed gloriously. You know, later in the same chapter, if you go down to verse 20, the women picked up and started singing that song. You remember that? In the same chapter, Exodus 15, verse 20, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days. Miriam, the prophetess, and Aaron's sister took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered, sing to the Lord, for he is exalted. The horse and its rider has been hurled into the sea. All right. Now, look what happens in verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, and therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And they allowed the devil to steal their song of praise. It only took 3 days. They went from praising God, I will sing unto the Lord, he is triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. They went from that. It only took 3 days for them to start grumbling. And you can know that you sure enough let the devil steal your song of praise when you start hearing complaints coming out of your mouth. and you start complaining about them people down on the job, and you start complaining about people in your household, you start complaining at the people you're around, you start complaining at the people at the traffic light, the people down at Walmart, the people in the grocery store, when you start letting complaint after complaint after complaint come off of your mouth, you can know that you let the devil steal your song of praise. Let me say this. When we have a song of praise, when we have a song of praise, there are three key benefits. I want to wrap this down. We have three key benefits, but I want you to get this. When we have a song of praise, number one, it is so powerful because we recite God's word. I said, when it's the right song, when it's the right one, we better make sure it's a scriptural song. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You know, there are some songs I don't sing. They got a great beat, but I can't sing them songs because of the words in them. Not everybody's discriminating like that, but we should be discriminating against that about what we're willing to listen to. Because let me tell you this, if the words aren't right, it doesn't matter what the beat is. A brother won't get an amen teaching like that. A lot of times they'll take a whole bunch of unbelief and mix it into a nice beat. But unbelief mixed into a nice beat is still unbelief. But when it is the right song, oh, I hope somebody will hear me tonight, you will recite God's word over and over again. When it's the right song, you'll recite God's word. When you're singing that song, if you'll refuse to let the devil steal your song of praise, and if you'll sing God's word out of your mouth, not only will he give you a rhema word again and again and again, but you'll be reciting the mighty word of God. Listen to me. Recite God's word. Number two, refuse to worry. If you will sing your praise of song, your song praise, if you will sing your praise song, you will recite God's word, number one. Number two, you'll refuse to worry. Refuse to worry. And the third one, release your faith. Recite God's word, refuse to worry, release your faith. Recite his word, refuse to worry, release your faith. Let's see if we can finish somewhere around Acts 16. Go with me to another scripture here. We have so many more scriptures that we could share with you, but I think you get the point tonight. Don't let the devil steal your song of praise. You know where I'm going here. Acts 16, verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." He called for lights, rushed in, trembling with fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen to me, my friend. Most people worship God when they see him move or answer prayer or do something they're praying for. That's what Israel did. When they saw, when the Bible says, when they saw the Egyptians drown, then they praised God. "I will sing unto the Lord." That's the wrong time to praise him. Israel fell into this trap again and again and again. They worshiped God when. And we ought to worship God until. We ought to worship God in spite of. Because if we'll worship God in spite of what we're going through, God will bring us the victory. The reason Israel kept failing again and again and again is because they kept waiting to see God answer prayer. "Well, you show me you're going to answer my prayer? When you show me my prayer?" The Thomas kind of faith. They wanted Abraham's blessing with the Thomas kind of faith. You know, it's a great song. That doesn't work. You'll never get Abraham's blessing, the song goes, using the Thomas kind of faith. Israel tried that. Thomas tried it. John 20:20. We won't go there. But John 20:20, Thomas tried that kind of faith. "I want to see it. If I see Jesus, see his hands, see his scars, then I'll believe." And Jesus rebuked him for that. But he said, "Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet they believe." Why? Because that's how faith works. Faith worships God before the answer ever comes. Faith worships God in the midst of the bleakest times. Faith worships God when it looks like you're going down for the last time. Faith worships God in our opening example. I showed the example of the runner who fell in an actual track meet, but got back up. The Bible says a righteous man may fall seven times, but seven times he or she gets back up. And if you'll get back up and not give up, the Spirit of God will empower you. The Spirit of God will give you favor. The Spirit of God will give you wisdom. The Spirit of God will give you grace. The Spirit of God will give you strength. The Spirit of God will help you up. The Spirit of God will stand you up. The Spirit of God will prop you up. He is our helper, our strengthener, our counselor, our guide. And he will help us to the victory again and again and again. The fight we're in is not a fair fight. But just like the prophet told Jehoshaphat, he said, King, don't worry. Israel, don't worry. This battle's not ours. This battle is the Lord's. And when he said that to Jehoshaphat, it changed everything, because Jehoshaphat started thinking, well, if the battle is the Lord's, I'm going to praise him. And he put singers ahead of soldiers. And they started praising God. Come on, prayer team. They started praising God, and they got the victory that way. Learning to praise God ahead of the struggle. Learning to praise God ahead of the answer. Learning to praise God before you see the answer is the key. It's the way to victory. When we sing our song of praise, it's the spark that releases our faith. And the enemy tries to discourage us because he doesn't want us to release our faith. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored to share in these moments what you gave us, what you laid upon our heart, what we asked you about, what we should share. And so now, Father God, we trust you. It's your word. It's your mighty Holy Spirit. Speak and minister to everybody who's listening to this message. Speak to every heart. Minister to every life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anybody here and you say, I know I'm not right with God. Preacher, I'm not right with God tonight. I don't know what would happen to me if I were to die. Every head is bowed, every eye closed. Lift your hand, let me pray for you. Is there anybody here tonight? You don't know what would happen to you tonight if you died. Let me see your hand. I just want to make sure I see you. Lift your hand so I can see you. Ushers, help me. I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody. You say, I don't know what would happen to me. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Let me see your hand. I don't want to miss you in prayer. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what, preacher? I've received Jesus. I know what that is, but I'm not walking with him right now. But tonight, I want to make it right, and I want to get right with God. If you let me pray for you, if you'll come down here, take a step of faith, God will bless you. God will touch you. God will help you. Let me see your hand in here. I'm not living right, but I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Anybody in here? I want to make it right tonight. I want to get right with God. Anybody in here, you want to be filled with the mighty Holy Spirit according to Acts 2:4. They spoke as the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here want that valid New Testament experience? Want to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight? I'm going to ask you to do something bold. God's going to, you take one step and God's going to take two. I want you to forget about everybody around you. I'm going to count to three. I want you just to stand on your feet. If you responded to any of those invitations that I gave, or if you should have, I'm going to count to three, and I want you just to stand boldly on your feet. One, two, three. Just stand up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. If you want prayer for anything tonight, you say, I should have responded. I want to respond. I lifted my hand. If you'll stand up on your feet, I'll pray for you. You won't leave here like you came. God's dealing with you. God's dealing with your heart. Maybe those who are watching, God's dealing with you. Oh, we want to help you. If you'll stand up on your feet. Is someone standing? I can't see if somebody's standing there. Yes, yes, come on down here. Come on down here, sir. Come on. Come right on down here. Just boldly come down here. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's encourage our friend. Hallelujah. Come right over here. Praise God. My name is Bill. What's your name?
Everett.
What's your name?
Everett.
Everett. Okay, Everett. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you so much for Everett in the mighty name of Jesus. Everett, I want you just to lift this hand to the Lord, and I want you to say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I surrender complete control to you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he was raised from the dead. And I invite you to live in me and to make me the man you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Everett, I want to thank you for praying that prayer. This is Reverend Paul, and he's going to give you some free materials and answer any questions that you have. If you would go with him, he's not going to keep you long, but he is going to give you some free materials. Come on, let's encourage Everett tonight. Praise God. Praise God. How many remember when you came to Christ? How many remember you gave your life to the Lord? Amen. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's encourage Everett again. Come on, let him hear you. Come on, don't you appreciate that? Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Stretch your hand toward Everett. Father, thank you that he'll get everything he needs. Thank you for changing. It's never too late. It's never too late for you to change lives, for you to touch people, for you to turn it around. Oh, thank you for blessing Everett, for changing him, for touching him, for healing him in every area of his life. Oh, thank you for meeting Everett's needs. Those who are watching, somebody who's listening, watching, thank you, Father, for touching them, for changing them as only you can. Oh, Father, just say this prayer with me if you're watching. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, we want you to write to us here at the ministry and let us know you prayed that prayer. I just feel so strong. Somebody else is praying that prayer. Oh, man. Anytime is the right time to get right with God. All right. Well, we want you to have a safe week. We'd be here right Wednesday, Hour of Power. Don't forget to keep our pastors in prayer. We have the greatest pastors on the planet. And you be safe out there. Remember, there's lots of cars and traffic as you're walking to your car. Not everybody may be able to see you, so be extra cautious out there, okay? And we'll see you right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you.